Donkeys could carry approximately 150 pounds of textiles or tin. The letters describe the details of loading a donkey. So we have, again, one of these very illuminating documents that gives us specifics that are so exciting. One text describes a donkey carrying 29 textiles of two different varieties. We don't know what they were. 65 measures of tin that were sealed, and an amount of loose tin as well that could be used to pay for emergencies that might come up or bribes. There was no coined money at this time, and instead lump metal, gold, silver, or tin, was used. Non-metal goods, such as textiles, were given a metal value, usually in silver, in order to make a fair exchange. A mina is just a little over a pound of metal, and this is a very common weight that is mentioned in the trader's letters. 60 shekels would make up a mina. Traders would have hired workers for the trip, paid for their accommodation, and for any equipment necessary. They also had to buy all of these donkeys that were forming the caravan, and the donkeys were then sold when they arrived in Kanesh, because they would need far fewer to transport the silver that was exchanged for the goods back to Ashur. In addition, there were taxes or tariffs to be paid along the trip. Some of these, as I've mentioned, would provide insurance or protection from theft. And if a local ruler was paid taxes, these rulers would ensure that merchants were reimbursed for their losses that they would suffer in a theft or a robbery of the caravan. Should disaster strike, a flood, for example, the merchant alone suffered the loss of goods and equipment. So this is going to be a high-risk investment. Trips usually took about 6 weeks between Ashur and Kanesh. The route was closed during the winter months because it was too dangerous. The merchandise was sometimes resold to the palace at Kanesh or to other local agents, and then they could disperse the goods to other karums to sell. Silver from the sale of the goods was sent back home by donkey, back to Ashur. Money lenders would finance the caravans, usually through partnerships of about a dozen people. Half of the total loan would be paid up front, and in one text, it was the equivalent of over 30 pounds of gold, which was the medium of exchange for loans. So silver is the most important commodity for individuals, but gold would be used for financing large ventures like this. Interest rates averaged 30%, and the period of the loan was 12 years. The money lender would be guaranteed a profit. In non-loan records, profits that the traders report could range from 50 to 100%. So we see that the business was very lucrative and attractive to those who would undertake the risks. While we see the results of this trade established in the late 20th century, we have to think of the first travelers who began to set up this arrangement and the dangers and the difficulty of establishing the trade route and establishing the connections with local rulers must have been quite significant. We can think of it as early venture trading. The Assyrian court negotiated agreements for merchants to travel on specific roads. And again, we don't have these agreements, especially from the Assyrian side, just the records of the payment to the local rulers. One of the most exciting aspects of the Karum Kanesh texts are the letters between family members. And here is where we see that trading and this merchant activity that flourished was really a family business. The entire family would be involved, and so we also get some important information about the effects of this long-distance trade, all of this travel on family life. what happened back home, who was in charge, what members of the family were sent to Kanesh, which were sent even farther to other kurums in Anatolia.